Good morning, everyone, and happy Sunday. It's good to be here with you all. Thank you, Lynn. It's wonderful to hear your enthusiasm and to hear all of the announcements that you were sharing just now. We are going to be starting our weekly gathering this morning by just taking an opportunity to greet one another in the room. I'm going to be playing the song that I traditionally play during this period of time by Deva Premal and Mitten called Awakening. So everyone, please embrace and enjoy one another.
To the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here, melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
So it's good seeing you all this morning. let me share with you our statement of purpose for today. This is really when the facilitating minister selects something from our purpose page on our website to share. And I've selected one of our core values this morning. And this is that core value. We realize everyone is equal. And no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. And as I read that value today, I see that every part of that value is going to be discussed during the homily this morning. Which is the teaching that follows the reading. This morning when we get to the reading, my reader is going to be Danielle, my roommate, Danielle Wright, and she's going to be reading from the Bible. We're going to read from the book of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. And this is a story that some of you might be familiar with. It's the story of when Jesus washed the feet of the apostles at the Last Supper. And as I share that today, I'm really going to be sharing several things, and we're going to be looking at how everyone is equal, and how Jesus was making that statement. We're also going to be learning, we're also going to be hearing how Jesus really wanted us to love one another. And in fact, if you read the Bible yourself, read like John chapter 13, 14, and 15, which is really the last teachings he gave the apostles before the end of his life, you will see that the one thing that he repeated over and over and over again was to love one another. So we'll be seeing a little bit about that today as well. But before we get into that, let me move into the announcements portion of our weekly gathering. The first announcement that I have is that I will be in New Jersey in April, which is now coming up very, very soon. I will be there April 24th. 25th and 26th. And even though I say New Jersey, this is really right outside of Philadelphia. It looks to me on the map, and I've never been to that area, but it looks to me like it's really more of a suburb of Philadelphia than anything else, but it's on the New Jersey side of the line. It's Moorestown, New Jersey. And if anyone would like to come and join with me, you can come and join with me all 3 days or any one day or any 2 days. I'll be there on a Friday night, all day Saturday, and then I'll be there pretty much all day Sunday as well. There's a Unity Church there that I'll be sharing at the service on Sunday morning, and then we'll have a gathering in the afternoon. You can find out all of the details on my website or on the Awakening Together website. Barb has put the link in the room, but if you go to the Awakening Together website, it's underneath events. If you go to the Regina Dawn Akers website, it's underneath retreats. This is really the type of gathering where probably the majority of the people that show up are going to be local people. So it's not a retreat that includes housing. You'll have to get your own hotel room nearby and all of that. But I put some information on the web pages about where you can stay. So go have a look if you think you'd like to come and be with us that weekend. This is the weekend following the CMC conference in New York. And by the way, just as a very, very early heads up, Tony contacted me this week. They've already decided on where the next CMC conference will be and when. It's going to be in Las Vegas next year. I don't have his email right in front of me, but I know one of the dates was April 8th. So it's probably April 8th, 9th, and 10th. If I'm off a day, it's whatever Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is in Las Vegas. So that's coming up soon. Also, as Lynn mentioned, I just got back from a wonderful, wonderful trip. And if you go to the Regina Dawn Akers Facebook page, you can see some of my pictures from that trip. But it was just a magnificent trip. And so shortly after Tony invited me to Las Vegas, I can't remember exactly where I was at. I think I was at the Wapukti ruins near Flagstaff. But wherever I was at, I was sitting there just looking at, it was so silent and so still. Some of these places are just so silent and so still and so beautiful. And I was just being there, and it occurred to me, you know, this is great because I can drive to Las Vegas. I can visit these places again. This time was a family vacation, so it was more adventuresome. But I would love to go back and have a quieter trip through some of those same sites. And I thought, you know what, I can do that. I can drive to Las Vegas and visit some of these same sites and just have really a very a wonderful trip. And some of you may want to drive with me. Some of you may want to fly out here to Colorado Springs and we can just make a trip of it. We can drive to Las Vegas, go to the conference, and then drive back. So I'll be sharing details about that as we go forward. Anyone who wants to just go on a road trip with me, you'll be invited. If we fit in one car, great. If we don't, then there'll have to be some car renting happening or something like that. But we can work it out. So just think about whether you'd like to take that trip. Again, you can go to Regina Dawn Akers' Facebook page and see some pictures of the trip that I just took with the family. We won't be doing the zip lining and stuff, though, next year. It'll be more walking and sitting, more of a quieter spiritual path through the Southwest. Also, another announcement I'd like to make, that was primarily the announcement about Regina in New Jersey, and then we went into the next year's CMC conference. But another announcement I want to make is there is an Awakening Together class that is beginning in April, late April of this year. And it's called Understanding Purification. And this is a really excellent class. Yeah, I see Kathy's commenting on the giraffe kissing that I did when I was when I was in Sedona. Yeah, but this Understanding Purification class is really a very, very good class. Now, many of you have read the book The Untethered Soul, and The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer is the textbook for our Understanding Purification class. However, the class is a whole lot more than reading the book. The class includes daily exercises where you live the book. You don't just read the book. You live the book, and you go through the purification that the book is recommending. It's an incredible class. Everyone who's taken it is grateful that they've taken it. You'll have two opportunities to take it. One of those opportunities is going to be a Tuesday evening opportunity. The first class will be held on April 28th, and it will run through May 26th. It's going to start at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, so 7:30 to 9:30 Eastern Time. Jay McCormick will be the facilitator of the Tuesday class. The other opportunity to take it is a Wednesday morning class. That will begin on April 29th and run through May 27th. It's 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, and Jacqueline Eckert is going to be the facilitator of that class. The class is 4 weeks long. It's 5 days a week of homework, but as I mentioned, the homework is not studious. It's spiritual practice. It's living the untethered soul. And you'll have a workbook that we'll give you that will guide you through the living of the untethered soul. The cost for the class is $100. Now, the homework actually starts 1 week before the first class. So the homework begins on April 22nd for the Tuesday night class. It says April 23rd for the Wednesday class, but if I was you, I'd probably start it on April 22nd as well, just because that Wednesday class is in the morning, so you lose a day there. Registration closes on April 20th. So if anybody's interested in that Untethered Soul class, it's called Understanding Purification. You can go to our website, look under classes. You'll see classes starting in April. Look for Understanding Purification and register there. The third announcement that I want to make this morning is we do have a fall retreat coming up, an Awakening Together fall retreat, which I'm really excited about. That retreat's going to be right here in Colorado. In Colorado Springs, at a lovely facility ran by Franciscan nuns. It's a Franciscan retreat center on the western side of Colorado Springs, which means it's right up against the edge of the Rocky Mountains. We have really three retreats happening. We call it our fall retreat, but it's three retreats. And this is so people can go to one, two, or three retreats, whatever you prefer. Some people, you know, if they have a long retreat, like 2 weekends and the week in between, that's too much time for them. They can't get that much time off from work, for example. But other people who have to travel a long distance, like maybe traveling from Europe, if we have just a weekend retreat, that's too short of a retreat. It's not worth the flight. So what we've done is we've created three retreats right in a row, so that hopefully you can get just the right amount of retreat for you and your schedule. The first retreat is a Friday evening till Sunday lunchtime retreat with Jan Fraser. That's October 30th to November 1st. The second retreat begins that Sunday evening and runs through Friday lunchtime. That's with Regina Dawn Akers. That's November 1 to November 6th. And then the last retreat begins Friday evening and runs through Sunday lunch on the second weekend with Bentinho Massaro, and that's November 6th to November 8th. And this is a retreat at a retreat center, so your room and all of your meals are included in that price. When you look at that price, everything is included. You could literally come with no money at all because you're going to be fully taken care of while you're here. So remember that when you look at those prices. That includes everything. And again, you can get that information by going to the Awakening Together website and looking underneath events for the fall retreat in Colorado Springs. You can also find it on the Regina Dawn Acres website under retreats. So that takes me to the opening song. This is a really fun song. What I hear in this song, and I just want to share it with you so that you can listen for it. What I hear in this song is just complete surrender. This is actually a Christian rock singer. The band is called Toby Mac. And what this song is doing is it's an opening song to a concert, but it's turning the entire concert over. So it's a surrender song. This song is called Steal My Show by Toby Mac. Just go from that directly into prayer. I hope you all will join me. So the thought that's ringing in my mind is the thought that was played in the song. If you have something to say, take it away. steal my show. Let your words come through me. Let me have no plan of my own, no expectations regarding what is to be said, no interpretation regarding what is read. Let me be empty, completely empty, completely open, completely fresh, completely now with no past, with no intentions of a future. And let it be. Amen. All right, and with that said, I'm going to turn the mic over to Danielle. And as I mentioned, she's going to read from the Bible at John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Hi.
Your loud voice, Danielle. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
Thank you very much, Danielle. I just have to be still for a moment because there, you know, it's funny how you can read just a little bitty thing like 17 lines out of a Bible, and there can be so much in it that it could be talked about for an hour, and there isn't that much time. So I just need to be still for a moment to see what theme I'm going to tune into from this reading. Okay. The theme I'm going to tune into, at least right away, is near the end of the reading. It starts at verse 12. "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." It's interesting when we read this because Jesus starts off by saying, you know, "I am your teacher and I am your Lord." And he also says, no one is greater than his teacher, just as a messenger is not greater than the one who has sent him. And if somebody just looks at that part without looking at the entire story, you know, they could get the idea of arrogance. You know, I am the teacher and no one is better than me. This sense of arrogance. In fact, I remember once a teacher saying that to me, and that's exactly how I took it. Maybe I mistook it at the time, but I took it as arrogance. But when I listen to this now, especially because I'm listening to it in relation to the entire story, I don't hear arrogance there at all. What I hear is a very important message. You know, one reason why I don't hear arrogance is because Jesus just finished, you know, taking off his clothes and bowing down like a servant and washing their feet. You know, a very, very humble action. I think the only interpretation I've ever heard anyone have of that action is humility. I've never heard another interpretation at all. It seems very clear that he's being very, very humble. But then he turns around and says, "I am your teacher." You know, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. So is Jesus saying, you know, "I am greater than you"? I don't think so. Not when you look at all of this together. He's also instructing the apostles to wash one another's feet. And he goes on in the same evening and tells them to love one another. So what is the entire message here? I think that there's really two things that are being said simultaneously. I think one thing that is being said is that, A, we are all equals. That's what's meant by wash one another's feet. We are all equals. If one day you wash my feet and the next day I wash your feet, that's a symbol that we are equal. It's not always me washing your feet or always you washing mine. We wash one another's feet. We are equal. But also what's really being emphasized here is the servant. Why is the servant being emphasized? Because the ego is not the teacher. The ego is not the teacher. We become the teacher when we become empty. The emptier we are, the more we all are the teacher. Right? The less and less, I don't even want to say ego, because, you know, when people hear the word ego, people have different ideas. And sometimes people think of ego as, what's the definition for the word I have in my mind? Think of ego as thinking a lot of myself. You know, if I think a lot of myself, that's ego. But in reality, ego is if I think I even am a self, whether I think a lot of it or not. If I think I even am a self, that is ego. And I want to be completely empty of ego, completely empty of thinking I am a self, completely empty of thinking for myself, completely empty of thinking I know anything. The less and less and less that I am, meaning the person, then the more I am the teacher. And so Jesus is telling us that we are all equal, wash one another's feet, and we all can be the servant. The servant, although it's a very, very humble position, the servant is also the greatest. Because when we are that empty, empty servant, what comes through us is not the person, it is God, or the Father, or the Tao, or Brahman, or, Muhammad, or whatever name you want to put to it, Christ consciousness, Buddha consciousness. It's by becoming nothing that the greatness comes through us. And so Jesus is really giving us a wonderful, wonderful message. He is saying, you are all equally the servant. Or at least you all have equal potential to be the servant. right? You're not the servant if you think, you know, I am the greatest, if you think I am the one who knows the most, if you think I am the best teacher, you know, or even I am the teacher's favorite. But if you become the servant, then you are the greatest. And we each have equal opportunity. I just want to share with you some other Bible verses where Jesus emphasizes the same point. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 6. I'm going to look at verses 39 to 42. Now again, this verse is going to probably sound familiar to many of you because this is a very, very famous verse. He says, "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Now, of course, a lot of people are really familiar with the speck and the plank story. But I don't know if everyone is fully aware of the fact that the sentence that precedes that story is the one that says a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. This is the same message we just saw Jesus giving after he washed the feet of the apostles. You know, he's saying, "You call me teacher and Lord," you know, and he basically says, "And rightly so, because I am your teacher and Lord," right? You know, so what is this? Is this a mixed message where Jesus is telling us on the one hand that we're all equal and that we can all, you know, be the servant and have this same voice come through us, and then he turns around at the same time and he says, you know, no one is as great as his teacher? I mean, what is he saying here? And again, I think the message is you have to keep surrendering. You are not the teacher from the ego. You're not the teacher from the I know mind. You're not the teacher from the I am Regina, you know, whoever, whatever your name is. I am the person mind. You're not the teacher from that. You're not the teacher from that. You have to let go of that, let go of that, let go of that. And when you let go of all of that and you are empty and you are nobody and you have no ideas of your own, then you are the teacher. And it's kind of interesting because what I also hear here is if you are not yet the teacher because you still have ideas of your own and you still think that you have to know from your thinking mind and all of that normal human stuff, then it's really good to have a teacher. It's really good to have a teacher and to be surrendered to that teacher. You know, stay the student until there's no you left is what I hear. In fact, one of the things he said to Peter when Peter was saying, First Peter said, you know, "You're not going to wash my feet." And then he said, "Yes, I am, or you'll have no part with me." And Peter said, "All right, then wash my head and my hands and everything." And then Jesus said, "No, anyone who's had a bath is already clean. The only thing that he needs are his feet washed." And what that really says to me is that at some point we become, I'm going to call it, fairly empty. That's like the bath. You know, we've followed the teacher for a long time. We've practiced what the teacher has asked us to practice. We've really become fairly empty. But because we're not completely empty, our feet become dirty when we walk through the dust of the world each day. And so we need to begin each new day, maybe even also end each evening, by washing our feet, which to me means enter into prayer, contemplation, and or meditation. You know, because our feet continually get dusty. So in that way, even when we're, you could say, somewhat advanced, and by advanced, I mean fairly empty, not smart. I mean fairly empty. You know, we really have let go of so much that we can be fairly empty throughout our day. But yet there's still enough of a person here that our feet become dusty each day. And so we still need to be the student enough to allow our feet to be washed each morning and possibly also each evening by our teacher. We don't want to let go of our teacher. We don't want to move into the arrogance even as we become very, very empty. 95% empty, 98% empty, 99.5% empty is still not empty. And as we gather that dust of the world every day, if we don't spend time with our teacher having our feet washed, that dust adds up. And pretty soon our 99.5% empty is only 89% empty. And then it's only 74% empty. And then it's only 61% empty because the dust of the world is now adding up on our feet again. So if we are not empty, we need a teacher. Even if we are mostly empty, we need to spend time with our teacher each day. That's the taking the plank out of our own eye. Spending time with our teacher each day. And again, how much time we need to spend with our teacher is something that we need to intuitively know. I'm going to go to another scripture. Let me see if I can. Yes, John 14, verses 15 to 27. I'm going to talk about who our teacher is. This is still taking place at the Last Supper. I'm back in John. So the Last Supper is about three chapters long in the book of John. A lot of detail there. When those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, oops, am I looking at, no, I'm in Luke. Sorry, I'm in Luke. I should be in John. As I say, this isn't sounding right. John chapter 14 is where I want to be. It was funny because they were talking about a feast too, so it took me for a second to realize I was in the wrong feast. Okay, John chapter 14, verse 15. This is still at the Last Supper. Jesus is speaking to the apostles. He says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor," with a capital C, "to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Now, when I read this scripture, what I really hear is Jesus telling us, the teacher is now within. You know, he was sitting here as a physical figure, a physical figure, and about to leave the world as a physical figure. And so he is turning the sight within. He's saying the teacher is within. But we still need to listen to this teacher every day. Every day, every morning, and possibly also every evening. We need to have our feet washed by the inner teacher. But then again, he also told us that we need to wash each other's feet. Well, what that says to me is that when the emptiness comes, and again, the emptiness may come in degrees, you could say. You know, like, again, I'm just making up numbers, but let's say I hit a point where I am empty 10% of the time. 90% of the time, I'm still full of Regina, but I'm empty 10% of the time. Well, what I hear Jesus saying when he's saying, wash the feet of your brothers, what I hear Jesus saying is, in that 10% of the time when you are empty, be the servant. Be surrendered. Be moved. You know, it's kind of like if I was learning to play piano, I would want to practice piano every day, even when I'm not any good at it, right? Even when when I'm playing the simplest song and I'm making mistakes, I still want to practice every day. And the songs will become more and more complicated and I will get better and better as I practice. But if I don't start practicing, basically when I'm no good, I'm never going to get better. So what I hear Jesus saying when he's saying wash one another's feet, he's saying in your periods of emptiness or with whatever little emptiness you seem to have, be the servant. Practice being empty. You know, live from that emptiness, even if it's only a few minutes a day. Because as you live from that emptiness, you're going to become more and more comfortable being empty. You're going to become more and more comfortable being moved by something that is not your person. So don't sit around and wait to be, you know, 99.9% empty before you start living from emptiness. Because if you try to wait until you're 99.9% empty, you're never going to get there. The way you become emptier and emptier and emptier is by living from emptiness. So you have the teacher within. Spend time with your teacher every day. But you also need to practice being the teacher with one another. That's what you have each other for. That's what the community is for. You are all equals. No one is above anyone else. And you each need practice being the empty servant. So serve one another. Peter, sit down and let John wash your feet so that John can practice being the empty servant. And John, sit down and let Peter wash your feet so that Peter can practice being the empty servant. Serve one another. Love one another. None of you are greater than the teacher. Remember to go back every day to the inner teacher. And yet allow each of you to be the servant for each of you. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful teaching? And doesn't that fit very, very much with Awakening Together's core values? Doesn't that fit very, very much with the purpose of the Awakening Together Sanctuary? Don't we all have the opportunity to come in here and, you know, on the one hand you could say be the teacher, but isn't being the teacher practicing being empty for the half hour or the hour time slot that I have? And don't the rest of us show up and listen at least sometimes so that, you know, the ones who are listening are the ones who are sitting down letting our feet being washed. And the one speaking is the one washing the feet. You know, sometimes people see that backwards. Sometimes people think the one speaking is the one that is greater, right? That's the one who knows everything. And the ones listening are lesser and they're trying to learn. But that's not the way it is in Awakening Together. That's not our purpose. The ones sitting are being humble enough to allow their brother to wash their feet so that their brother can have practice being the servant. And then at another time slot, the one that's sitting becomes the one behind the mic. Because now he's the servant that has taken off his clothes and he's washing his brother's feet. And we're each serving one another, loving one another, becoming more and more practiced at being empty because what we are doing is letting go of believing we are the person. And we're learning by hearing what we call the Holy Spirit come through us. By not speaking from our I know mind, by not speaking from our plan of what was going to be said today, but letting it happen. In fact, Dove could tell you if he wanted to that, you know, what we're supposed to do when we're the ministers is we are supposed to send him you know, the title of our Sunday morning talk, maybe a one or two line description of what we're going to say, who the reader is, what the reading is. And sometimes I send a very vague line of what I'm going to say, but sometimes I don't send any line of what I'm going to say. Like yesterday, I didn't send him anything. I just said, I'm the minister, Danielle's the reader, and here's the reading. Because I didn't know what was going to come through. Because I didn't have a plan. I can write the description afterwards and post it on the website because now I know what's been said. But I didn't know before I said it what was going to be said. Because I'm practicing being empty. You know, like our opening song, if you have something to say, please take it away. Steal my show. Let's see, I want to read another scripture to you. I did write down a bunch of scriptures that I knew, that I knew might be mentioned. I have a whole long list. I knew I wouldn't read them all, but I wrote them down because I don't know the Bible so well that I could easily turn to them if I didn't have them written down. I hope I have wrote this one down right. I might not have. It doesn't look right to me. No, I think I wrote down Matthew, but I think it's supposed to be Mark. I think it's Mark chapter 4. Matthew isn't making sense. I do know the Bible well enough to know that Mark gets started much faster than Matthew. Matthew has a slower start, so Jesus wouldn't have been at this point by Matthew 4. Okay, so it looks like it's going to be Mark 4, 21 to 25. Okay, so he said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Often when we read that, the way that we interpret that is, he's asking us to allow purification to happen. He's asking us to allow things to be brought into the light. But you know, whenever you read the Bible is the living word, which means a certain paragraph can be interpreted for you one day. And on another day, when you read the same paragraph, it can be interpreted for you a different way. The inner teacher can allow you to see what you need to see now when you read that scripture. And so as I read this scripture now, what is concealed is that I am nobody. And that all of God, all of the Tao, all of the universe lives through me, that in fact it is really what I am. And when I become nobody, it shows itself. It's concealed as long as I think I'm Regina. If I come in here as Regina with an entire talk planned, you get Regina. But if I come in here empty, what is concealed, what is hidden underneath Regina, which is the truth of what I am, that shows up and that speaks through me. Do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or under a bed? Do you hide the truth of what you are beneath the person? Instead, don't you put it on its stand, the light? Don't you let the light shine? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. And whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And then Jesus continues, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Well, taken in context with the interpretation that was just given about the lamp, what the rest of this means is, if I speak from the Holy Spirit, in other words, if I become very, very empty, right, and I let what is concealed come through me, the more, when I do that, more will be given, right? So it's just like I said, I'm 90% person, 10% empty, but I start living from emptiness, and that little bit of time during the day when the emptiness seems available to me, I live from it. There's going to be more and more emptiness, which we could also call less and less, right? Less and less person, more and more emptiness, more and more light. The more I live from it, the more emptiness there is. But if I am afraid of the emptiness, You know, if I don't trust the emptiness, if I think that the person needs to control and manage things, the person needs to make sure things are right, then even that 10% that I had is going to kind of close up. Basically, not because it's leaving me, but because I'm repressing it. Which is why some masters get to 95% empty. But because they're 95% empty, they step fully into the role of teacher. And they forget to remain the student. They focus on the fact that they've had a bath, and they forget that their feet get dusty every day. And so when they stop being with their teacher in the morning and the evening each day, and they start just thinking of themselves as the teacher, then they walk through the world and their feet get dusty. And each day their feet get dustier. And pretty soon that 95% empty is only 84%. And then only 71%. And pretty soon they're all the way back down to 10%. So, you know, what this is saying is whatever emptiness you have, use it. Practice with it. Live empty in whatever situation you can. Even if you can only trust emptiness in one little area of your life, live from emptiness in that one little area. Because as you live from it, it will expand. As you don't live from it, it will shrink. It will close up. So I'm going to go back now to the original reading, which was in John, chapter 13. Again, Jesus says, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" This is after washing their feet. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So Jesus is telling us two things. You have a teacher, and you have the ability to be the emptiness that is the teacher. The servant is the teacher. Be the servant. But don't forget that you have a teacher. It's not an either-or thing. It's not like I'm the servant and then I become the teacher. Because if you become the teacher and you forget to be the student, then you lose the emptiness that is the servant. Is this making sense? So be empty. And in that way, be the teacher. But don't forget that you aren't the teacher. Go to your teacher every day so that your emptiness and therefore your ability to be the teacher can expand. All right. So with that said, I'm going to go into playing our contemplation song. This is also the time when Barbara puts a link in the room for anybody who would like to donate to Awakening Together. The song that I'm playing is from the Water Boys. It's called Every Breath Is Yours.
Every breath is yours, beloved. Every breath is yours. Every breath is yours, beloved. Every breath is yours. The self that I thought I was. I give myself to you, beloved. The self that was mystified and lost. Every breath is yours, beloved. Every breath is yours. Every breath is yours, beloved. Every breath.
Beautiful. I love the line in that song when he says, I give myself to you, beloved, the self that I thought I was. And then, of course, the majority of the song, every breath is yours. So this is the time in our weekly gathering where we share the mic and allow anyone who has something to say to comment on the day's reading or the day's teaching. So, who has something they would like to share with us? All right, Nancy, the mic is yours.
Good morning. Good morning. What a beautiful, beautiful teaching. Thank you very much. A couple of things came up for me as I listened, and one of the first ones was, what a beautiful recommendation for understanding purification. What a beautiful recommendation for the class, which I already had the prompt to sign up for before your talk, and then that was just a beautiful support for that. And also something that came up for me is, you know, the 12-step programs, which I know many of us are members of, And they all end with anonymous. Whatever the core habit energy or addiction was, and then anonymous. And a lot of people interpret that anonymous as just don't tell anybody that I'm a member of this program, which it really isn't the principle of anonymity. The principle of anonymity is what you described in this teaching, that there is no individual here, that I am unknown as a personality or as an individual, that's the principle, you know, making room for the spirit to be expressed. And I know that I have had friends who either going to talk at a meeting or be a speaker at a meeting and become very nervous. And I've been there myself, and I've noticed, I notice it when I am nervous, and then I try to remember, you know, this isn't me. It isn't about me, the individual. It is about the love that comes through, the love that is behind the speaker, that is hopefully allowed to come through the speaker in my experience to be expressed. So the principle of anonymity is kind of highlighted for me in today's teaching, as well as understanding purification, as well as how it is in walking in the world and the feet getting dirty, which is why in the 12-step program they have a step for that, you know. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. You know, where was I resentful? Where was I selfish? Where was I dishonest? Where was I afraid? And that these things are not to be looked at morbidly, but to be looked at with our inner teacher. With the inner teacher, or sometimes with a teacher in form who has some understanding of purification. And so I just want to thank you. It was very, very helpful and inspiring and encouraging. All right, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Nancy. And you mentioned, you know, it could be the inner teacher, or sometimes it's a teacher in form. And I think that probably the emptier we are, the more we can rely on the inner teacher, the more full that we are. And by full, meaning that we think we know, we think we understand, we think we're right, you know, all that kind of stuff. The more full we are, the more a teacher in body is helpful, because all of our fullness, it can be blocking our own inner teacher, right? So, and I think it's really healthy if we know ourselves enough to know whether I need an outer teacher right now, or whether I'm making myself available through emptiness for the inner teacher. I think that's really, really healthy. And I think that probably, I've never been a member of Alcoholics Anonymous or anything, but, you know, you have the sponsor there, and I think that that's probably what's encouraged, to know when you're not healthy enough to go with the inner teacher, you need to call this teacher in form to be helpful. But then at some point, you know, it's wonderful if we become empty enough that we can rely on the inner teacher, and that's when we then are available to be the teacher somewhat for someone else, because we have that inner teacher. But again, we don't want to forget to go to our inner teacher every day, to have our feet washed every day. Barb, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. That was just a reminder to me of, you know, how important it is for us to be remembering that we don't know what's in our best interest. And I had an example of that this week. When we don't know, then we open ourselves up to the true knowledge. And this week I had a, you know, because I am looking for work even though I'm doing stuff now, but I had a job that I thought, an interview that I thought, oh, this would be great. Although I wasn't attached to it too much, but I had this interview with a local humane society. And I don't know how the interview went. You know, I really never know. You just do what you do what you do. And when I, Friday afternoon, at the end of the day, I was on my way to go to Trader Joe's, and an email came through that I didn't make it to the second round of interviews. And I had this initial drop in, like, oh, like a little disappointment was there, you know, because it wasn't like a big attachment, but there was some attachment. And so I went in and did my shopping. 10 minutes later, I got out, and what came to me, and this is what happens when we become more able to listen, but what came to me was that the reason I didn't get the job was because it was not in my best interest for that to be so. I was like, that's not something I would have thought before, but because when we become open to listening, what it does is it allows the sense of that guidance to make itself more clear to us in a way we never would have understood before. And not that I have to understand why this is so, but the fact is I'm accepting of, like, I was able to hear that in my head, you know, you didn't get it because it was not in your best interest. So I was just really grateful that I didn't have to go through this whole agonizing thing because my identity was attached to getting this job or something, you know. So, you know, it just shows you the more you're willing to listen. And you do that through practice of letting yourself go, because you're more able to hear that guidance. But anyway, I was really, really, really super grateful that I didn't have to go through some kind of pain and suffering over that. So thank you, Spirit. Let me go the mic.
Thank you very much, Barb. And I noticed that, you know, you talked about, I don't know, and Gloria wrote, so then emptiness is the same as I don't know. And yeah, I think so. I think the more I don't know, the more empty I am. Sometimes what we don't realize is the things that we think we know, like the most basic thing we think we know is who we are. You know, I am Regina Dawn Akers, you know, and I like this and this and this, and I don't like this and this, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The more I think I know who I am, the less empty I am. And not to mention what's right and wrong in the world, what political points of view are good, what political points of view are bad, what is good and what is evil. Adam and Eve, you know, it's funny, Adam and Eve ate of the knowledge of the tree of good and bad, and that was the end of their emptiness. And that's then when they thought they were naked or saw that they were naked and had to cover themselves up and go and hide from God, hiding from God being like repressing, you know, that voice for God, somewhat. You know, and so the more we think we know, the more we repress that universal self, because that universal self shines through emptiness, through not knowing, you know, prior to the knowledge of good and bad. Dove, the mic is yours.
All right. Thank you so much. That was just a wonderful sharing. And it just brings up so much on so many different levels. I was thinking of the place where you shared about this room, about the teachers and the people that come here, and who is the teacher. Actually, I think that the teachers understand ultimately that the teacher and the students are really the same and that they're really teaching themselves. Heidi, who's here in the room, is a teacher here. On Fridays at 12 noon, and she basically is always speaking to her higher self, whether she calls it Jesus or Holy Spirit, but she's allowing what she is to tell her of herself, and that's really what teaching is about. You're stepping back and allowing him to step forward and to speak through you. Obviously, to be empty allows that to happen a lot quicker. That's what developing trust is. I also want to say something about the people that come to the room, and yes, they are listening, but I think the way to wash the teacher's feet, even though they think that the teacher is somebody that they're not, is to acknowledge that teacher that has just washed their feet that basically that person has shown up and has shared their heart. Actually, they step back and allow the love to pour through them. And a wonderful way to acknowledge that is to acknowledge the person. So when the person is finally complete, you actually share, you know, your thank you very simply, or you, whatever it is that you want to say to acknowledge that person. So it really is a two-way communion. Thank you so much, Regina.
Yeah, that makes sense, Dove, especially if you use the symbol of, you know, washing feet. If somebody just washed my feet, when they finish and they get up, I'm most likely going to say thank you, right? And so if we use that symbol that the one with the mic is washing the feet and the rest of us are sitting down and having our feet washed, then it really makes sense that when they're done washing the feet that we would say thank you. That makes perfect sense. And by the way, Dev, as you were speaking, it happened to enter my mind. That's the purpose of the Awakening Together minister. Our ministers are ones who have chosen to be that servant that washes the feet of others in a large number of ways. Maybe teaching in the room, but some of them may serve like an administrative role, like Francine Wright enters your donations into our QuickBooks program. Some people serve as trustees. Sitting here right now, I can't think of the number of ways that a person might serve. But that's really what the minister is doing. The minister is someone who is practicing emptiness by serving from that emptiness through Awakening Together. So our ministers are our servants, and that's one of the things that is taught in the minister program. And by the way, we are going to have our first ordination coming up. I believe the date is May 10th. As we get closer, we'll communicate that better. But the first group of people to go through our minister preparation program are now in their second-to-last class. Pretty soon they'll be taking their last class in the program, and then there's a test at the end, and then they will be ordained here in the room. Like I said, I think the date is May 10th. So we'll communicate that with you more. But we're about to have our first group of ordained ministers coming through, so that's really exciting. So what I would like to do now, first of all, I would like to thank all of you all for coming and being here with me today, joining with me on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's really a lot of fun to be with you. I do know that Lynn has asked for someone to offer to be the facilitator for the next hour. So if anyone is willing to do that, let me know. And I am going to play my closing song for today's gathering. This is by Stephen Walters, and it's called Nothing Less Than Everything, which, of course, is what we have to give up in order to be completely empty. We have to give up everything, nothing less than everything.
I was walking down a lonely road, looking for a place to rest. There was no escaping from this ache inside my chest. Then I got down on my knees and begged for mercy, and I raised up my hands, and I knew the answer even as I asked the question of just how much this love demands. And it's everything, everything, nothing less than everything will do. And when everything is burnt, I will take these ashes and offer them up to you. Shiva, Shiva, Mahadeva, Mahadeva. Shiva, Shiva, Mahadeva, Mahadeva. I was walking down a lonely road, looking for a place to rest. There was no escaping from this ache inside my chest. Then I got down on my knees and begged for mercy. And I raised up my hands. And I knew the answer, even as I asked the question, just how much this love demands. And it's everything, everything. Nothing less than everything will do. And when everything is burnt, I will take these ashes and offer them up to you. Shiva, Shiva, Mahadeva, Mahadeva. Shiva, Shiva, Mahadeva, Mahadeva. Everything, nothing less than everything will do.
Beautiful song. I love that song. That's a beautiful song. All right. So is there anyone that is willing to take the mic for the next hour and facilitate our social gathering? All right, well, what I need to do is save the recording. So what I'm going to do is play a song. When I am saving a recording, I'm not able to hear someone who's speaking in the room during the time that I'm saving. Don't know for sure if you'll be able to hear the song, but we'll find out together. How's that sound? So I'm going to play a Kirtana song. It's called Happy Birthday, Jesus.